Shalom to all. Today's Avos Chol Daf Kuf Chaf Hey, and we're starting Kuf Chaf Daf Amud Beis all the way at the bottom with the brand new Mishnah. And today's Avos sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Bas Miyakam Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Oliyah. So Mishnah says Kulis Hameis, a Kulis, which is a marrow bone from a mace, from a corpse, from a dead person, going right at the top of the next Amud. The Kulis Hamugdashin, and this Kulis is marrow bone from Mugdashin, from a carbon. Hanigebah, and one touches them. Bein Stum and Bein Akuvin, whether they're closed, which means the bone is whole, whole, there are no holes in it, or Bein Akuvin, it could be there has a hole in it. That's hole. It has a puncture in it. So tamei, the person is going to be tamei. We know that by mace, a corpse, etzem kisa'ira, a bone even the size of barley is metame the person. And we know that by mugdashin, by a carbon, even though a bone really is not metame, it's just that we know that when meat of a carbon is left over beyond the time it's allowed to be eaten, it's called nisar. And the chamur geyser that this meat is metame one's hands, and that applies to the bones as well if they were meshamesh nisar, which means that if there's marrow inside, since that marrow is edible, it's also considered nisar. So touching the bone, which again was meshamesh the nisar, is going to be time of the person. Now moving on to the next stage, Mishnah tells us, kulis nevelo v'kulis hasheretz, a marrow bone from nevelo, just from a dead animal, or from a sheretz, hanigebahem stumen tahirin, if a person touches them when they're closed, they're sealed, they're whole, there's no puncture in them, so then the person's tahar, whereas nekuvim, if there is a puncture, if there's a hole in this bone, so kol shu, even if it's the tiniest little hole, metame b'maga, it's metame the person by touching it, that's because it's like a shimer, as we know the din of the shimer is if you touch the shimer, the protector of something, then you become tame, and here again, we have the kulis, we have the marrow that's inside the bone, and we're going to see that since there's a hole in this bone, so the marrow is accessible, that now gives the bone the din of a shomer, which is why it becomes tamei. Now, minayin af b'masa, how do we know that even if he carries the bone, he's tamei? Tamalam so to that, the pasuk says, hanogeya v'hanoisei, one who touches or one who carries, and so we learn from here, as we've had Josh earlier as well, esther b'alchal maga b'alchal masa, something that's in the category of maga, that you could touch it, so it's also in the category of masa, le'balchal maga, le'balchal masa, but it's not in the category of touching it, it's not in the category of carrying it, and this, as we said, since it has a hole in it, it is in the category of maga, you could technically touch it. It's also in the category of masa. So now the Gemara begins by explaining the first part of the Mishnah. Negeya in avomayel loy. From the fact that the first part of the Mishnah, by kulis hames, this bone from a corpse, it told us that if a person touches it, he becomes tamei. But it did not say anything about tumas oyel. That's mashma. This bone is not metame ba'oyel. Let's just pause for a second to have a basic introduction about tumas oyel. When a mace or even a kezais of a mace is under a roof and oyel, then everything under the same roof becomes tamei. Now this then applies even if they're not under the same roof, but the mace itself is mahil over something, or something is mahil over the mace. Now, as we're going to see later on as well, the measurement of a tefach is very relevant over here. How? So if the mace is covered, let's say it's in a box, the toma remains inside and doesn't escape. Now, that's only if there's a tefach of space in between the mace and the lid. If there isn't, then the toma is boikas ve'oila. It breaks through, it penetrates and goes up. And it's the same thing with an opening. If the mace is in a room, let's say, the toma is contained within that entire room. But if there's an opening of a tefach, such as a window, the toma escapes through that opening. Bearing all that in mind, the Gemara just said, it's that since our Mishnah hadn't told us that a kulis hames is metam ba'oil, that's mashma that it's not. So the question is, hey, chidam, what are we referring to that this kulis hames is not metam ba'oil? Ida ik kezais basar, if there's a kezais of flesh, of actual meat from the mace on it, so ba'al nami litma, it should metam ba'oil as well, because we have a kezais from the mace in the oil. So we answer, no, delak kezais basar. That's just a plain bone with no kezais of meat on it. Asking our five, but ida ik kezais mechel mefnim, if there's a kezais of mayach, of marrow inside the bone, so toma b'kas v'ayla, the toma should break through, it should penetrate and go up, and ba'ayl nami litma, it should be metame ba'ayl as well. Now, why does the toma go through? Well, that's because it's din that we had just said, that if the toma is located in container of sorts, that doesn't have a tefach in between the toma and the top of the container, so it's b'kas v'ayla. And here, we have toma, which is the marrow that's in a container, which is the bone, and there definitely isn't a tefach in between the marrow and the bone. So once again, the toma, which is the marrow, should be b'kas, should penetrate through the bone, and that should be metame ba'ayl. So we answer no, the like kezais meich b'fnim. Then there isn't a kezais of marrow inside the bone. As we're fine, what about the following? If the marrow inside is going to help it regenerate from the outside, then Aver Ma'aliyu, it's a regular Aver, and ba'oil nami litma, it should still be metame ba'oil. Now let's just pause to explain what we just read. The suggestion over here is as follows. If when a bone is attached to the body, it would regenerate and regrow marrow, which would in turn help regenerate flesh on the outside of the bone, then even if it's completely devoid of both marrow and flesh, and nonetheless has the din of an aver, and it should be metame ba'oil. So that's what the suggestion is over here. Even though you're telling me that there's no marrow inside the bone, it should still be metame ba'oil. So on Rav Yehud, Rav Chi answers, Zayser Meris, this clearly tells us that meich b'fnim ain't mala rukam b'chutz, that even if a bone does have marrow inside, that's not going to help regenerate flesh on the outside of the bone. Therefore, this aver that we're referring to over here is not considered like a classic aver, which would be metame ba'oil amase. That's why the Mishnah didn't say that it is. It's only metame b'maga. The market is asking, b'mayu kimta delak exayas. That which you just just explained, the Mishnah is referring to a bone that doesn't have a kezias of marrow inside. Well, if that's so, then what about the next case? B'mugdashin amai metame. Why in the case of mugdashin, when we have a bone from a carbon, why is that metame? If there isn't a kezias of marrow inside, so how's the person tame? V'su, and furthermore, what about the next stage of the Mishnah? Kulis nevela v'kulis hasharetz, the marrow bone of a nevela or sharetz, kinikvu amai metamu. Even if they do have a hole in them, why would they be metame him? There isn't a kezias of marrow inside, so it shouldn't be metame him. How are we understanding the rest of the Mishnah? The Gemara answers, halakasha, that's not a problem. Reisha de lak exayas, seifa de exayas. Meaning just the first case of kulis hames, a bone from a corpse, that's referring to where it does not have a exayas of marrow, as we just explained. Whereas the seifa, all the other three situations, kulis mugdashim, nevela, and sheretz, that's referring to where there is a exayas of marrow. And my kamash malon, so what's the Mishnah teaching us? Usually we like being consistent throughout an entire Mishnah that's referring to the same set of circumstances. So what do we learn from this? Now that we say that the Mishnah is talking about different things, mili mili kamash malon, each case is teaching us something unique. Reisha kamash malon, the first case is teaching us the ma'achem b'fnim ain't a malarukum v'chutz. Even if we have marrow inside a bone, that's not going to help regenerate flesh on the outside. And mugdashin ma'kamash malon, what are we learning from the case of mugdashin shimush noiser milsahi? That when the bone is mishamish noiser, when it was used as a service for noiser, if you will, so that's considered something, meaning that's chashuv, and therefore the bone itself is going to be tame. Where do we see this? Amar barvu amar v'yitzchak. That's why it's kachim shishimshu noiser metamnes hayadayin. Bones of kachim that were service for noiser, there was noiser meat on them, they're metame a person's hands. Hoyel v'nasa basis l'davar aser. That's because they were a base for something that's aser, and it's the same thing with the kulis of our Mishnah, that since it has a kezias of marrow inside, and the marrow is edible, so the marrow becomes nicer. Therefore, the bone was shimush for nicer, and that's why it's metame him when he touches it. Vela, what do we learn from his last stage in the Mishnah? Afagav de ike kezias, that even though there is a kezias of marrow inside the bone, nikva in loy nikva loy, only if he made a hole in the bone, so then he becomes tame by touching it, but if there's no hole in the bone, he's not tame. So we have three different chidushim out of these three different stages of the Mishnah. And this is all shitas of Yehuda Breid Rav Chiya. Now we have a slightly different understanding. Abaye Amar Abaye says, we don't have to go so far. We could say that if there's marrow inside the bone, that would help regenerate flesh on the outside. Again, that's if it was attached to the person. It's just the v'hachamai skin. And what are we talking about over here specifically? B'sheshafa. It's where the bone was cut or broken or scraped. In that situation, even though there's marrow inside, that would not cause any regeneration of flesh on the outside. Why is that? Chud Rav Blazer said, and Rav Blazer, he tells us, kul sheshafa la'arka tmeya. If a marrow bone was scraped or cut along its length, so that still is metama, because that would help regenerate flesh, but l'rachba, along its width, tahira, it's tahar, which means if there's a band cut around the circumference of the bone, so it's not able to regenerate flesh on the outside. V'simani, how do you remember this? Dikla is just like a palm tree. It's very similar that if a person goes to a palm tree and cuts a strip of bark vertically on the tree, nothing's going to happen to it. However, if he cuts a band of bark around the circumference of the tree, that would be widthwise or horizontally, whichever way you want to say it, so that's going to cause the tree to die, because Rashi explains any sap which is coming from the ground, which gives nourishment to the tree, is not going to be able to pass that band which he had sliced out of the bark, and that's going to cause it to die, and that's the same thing with the bone. So these two opinions are really basically saying the same thing, Abaye and Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rav Chiya. However, now we have a different understanding of Mishnah. Rabbi Yechon says, L'olam de'ik gezayas. Really, even the first case of Mishnah, kulis menames, this bone from the corpse, it's talking about where it has a kezias of marrow, and umaychum bifnim mala rugam b'chutz. Marrow inside the bone would cause it to regenerate and regrow flesh on the outside. So the big question is, fine, so why is it not metam ba'oil? Why doesn't the Mishnah say that? And the answer is, umayno gadiktani mahil. When the Mishnah says that if he touches it, he's tameh, what does that mean, touching? Actually means mahil, that if we have tumas oil over here, it is metame. And we're going to soon see how it could be that noigea and mahil are the same thing. Now we just get to explain the Mishnah by asking, it was really to the court of Yechanon, marrow inside the bone is going to help regenerate flesh on the outside of the bone. So in kulis nevel, kulis hasheretz, ki loy nikvu amai tahirim. In the last case of the Mishnah, when we have this kulis from nevel or sheretz, even if they don't have a hole in them, they weren't punctured, why are they tahar? Amar Rabban Yom Bar Gidol, Amar Rabbi Yechanon, he explains that hachmai skin, what are we talking about over here? Ki goin de ikig zayis mayach hamiskashkesh, as where there's a kezias of mayach inside this bone, but it's miskashkesh, which literally means it's rattling around. In other words, the kezias of mayach, this marrow, is dried up, it's detached from the bone, so it's just shaking around kind of like a toy, a rattle, and so that's why there's going to be a difference between a bone from nevela and a bone from a corpse from a mace. Gabi mace, we're talking about a human corpse, toma by kazva ayla, the toma which is imparted by this dry mayach is by kea. It does penetrate and it goes out of the bone, and therefore it will be tama tomas ayla. Whereas nevela, kima de miskashkesh, who, in regards to nevela, since it's shaking around, the marrow is totally dry, and therefore it would not be mala aruka, it would not regenerate if it were to have been connected to the animal, so then it's all totally on touching it. Nikva in loy, nikva loy, only if this bone nevela has a hole in it, so then he's going to become tame, because it's like he's touching it. If not, then not. And that's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. Now, if further clarifies Shita Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Avin, Vitema Some Seos Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, Avin and Amitinino. We also learned this, namely that Tomas Maga, Toma of touching, and Tomas Oyel by Maze are really the same thing. Where do we see this? So Mishnah Maseches Oyel tells us as follows, Hanayebe Kechatzi Zayas, if a person touches a half a Zayas of a Maze, Umayel Chatzi Zayas, and he's mile on half a Zayas, which for example, let's say his left hand is touching half a Zayas, and his right hand is hovering over another half a Zayas of a Maze, so he's being mile over it, Oy Chatzi Zayas Mahil Olav, or there's another half a Zayas of Maze being mile over him. For example, it was placed on a stick and is jutting out of a wall, and he's standing underneath it. So with one hand, he's touching half a Zayas of a Maze, and he's standing underneath another half a Zayas of a Maze. Tame, he's Tame. No, yeah, Rishlama, Chad Shmahu. If you want to say that touching an oil is one name, it's the same thing. So Mishmachim and Starf. That's why these two things are Mitzarf to Mitame him. Eli Amr Tresha Minenhu. If you want to say these are two different names, two different categories, touching an oil, will be Mitzarf? Would they be able to be combined? No, because of a Tanan. We have a Mishnah that says, Zahaklal, this is the rule. Kol Shem Yishem Echon Mitzarf, Vitame. Anything that's the same shame, it's the same category, so then it could join together and be Mitame. Whereas Mishnah Shemais, Tahar. If it's two separate names, two separate categories, then a person would be Tahar because there is no Tzirof. Elamai Chad Shmahu. It must be that Thomas Maga by Mace and Oyel is really the same shame, it's the same category, and we're able to mitzarif them. However, the Gemara says, this is not a good raya because Amos Seifa, take a look at the very end of that Mishnah. Aval Kovchav Hayam Beis on top. Hanoigeh B'Khatzi Zayas V'Davar Acher Mahil Olav Val Chatzi Zayas Tahar. If a person is touching half a Zayas and there's something else being Mahil over him and another half a Zayas, he is Tahar. Which means a very similar example, just a little bit different, and this is the key, that he's touching half a Zayas, and let's say he's standing next to the other half a Zayas, and there's an umbrella or a sukkah board or something like that, which is being mahil over him and this other half a Zayas that he's standing next to. It's forming a roof over him and this other half a Zayas, so he's Tahar. Now here's the problem, V'chad Shmahu, if you want to say that touching an oil has the same name, the same category, am I Tahar? Why is he Tahar? The Gemara says, you're right, it's not the same name, so El Kashu Resha. So what about the Resha of this Mishnah, which seems to be that it is the same thing, because we're combining these two Tumas, he's touching half a Zayas and being mahil over the other half a Zayas, so why is he Tumah in that case, if you want to tell me it's not the same shame? And so to that, Omer Zer Zer answers, the race is talking about a unique case where it's Tumah Ritzutza, which literally means squished Tumah in between two closets. And there isn't a Tafach between them. The whole thing is actually considered touching and it's not Oyhal. Let's just pause here for a second to explain before we continue trying to figure out who holds that Negiyah and Oyhal are the same thing. So we just mentioned over here is as follows, and this is another din of Tumas Mace. Ritzutza, as we just translated, means squished. And the din is that if a piece of the mace is in such a small area that it's ratzutz, it's like it's squished there. So it's a totally different din. This is when it's contained in an area that's less than one cubic tafach. So in such a scenario, the halacha Moshe Mishnei dictates that the toma doesn't spread outwards, rather it goes straight upwards. And as the Gemara says over here, the example given is that the toma is in between two migdalim. Migdalim are closets, and because they're so large, they're unable to be makabel toma. That's a different din regarding toma that we're not going to get involved in. Therefore, since the space in between them is less than a tafach, and the toma has nowhere to go other than upwards, so Mamela, when he puts his hand in that space above the Tuma, it's as if he's actually touching the Tuma. That's why the Gemara just said, Dekula Negiyahi, the whole thing is considered like he's touching it. In other words, the ratio of the Mishnah we quoted before is referring to a case where he's physically touching half of a Kazayas, and the other half of a Kazayas is in such a tight, confined area where even though he's not physically touching it, his hand is just hovering above it, since this is called Tuma Ritzutza, and the Tuma is going all the way upwards, it's as if he's touching it, so therefore the whole thing is really just a din in Negiyah, and it's not half oil, half Negiyah. So that's why this is not a raya for Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, the Gemara continues, Umantana Dekar Oil Negiyah. So who's the Manda Amar who does call Thomas Oyel by the name of Negiyah, meaning it's really the same thing? Rabbi Yossi, it's Jesus Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Mali Tavid Rekev, Metama B'magu B'masa Uba Oyel. If we have Mali Tavid Rekev, which means a large spoonful of corpse dust, that's basically when a corpse decays and it turns into dust. So if a person has a large scoopful of this corpse dust, that's Mali Tavid Rekev, a large spoonful of this corpse dust, so it's Metama in all three ways, Maga, Masa, and Oil. So we analyze this to further understand she's Rabbi Yossi. Bishlama Masa Uba Oil. We understand that we're talking about Thomas Masa and Oil. Hakatan Leila Kulev, Hakamala Kule. He's either carrying the entire thing or he's being mile over the entire thing. If he's carrying this whole spoon, so he's carrying the whole thing, so he becomes Tame that way. Let's say the spoon is on a table and he bends his body over it, so he's being mile over the entire thing. Elena Gea, Hotloy Nugaba Kule. But in regards to touching, he's not touching the whole thing. If he touches one part of this corpse dust, this Rekev, he's not touching the whole thing because it's basically a bunch of little particles that are all in the same spoon, but he's really only touching a few of the particles, not all of them. So why would he become Tame Thomas Magob? It shouldn't be considered like he's touching a mace. Elam Shmamina, it must be. How do we understand this? Mainoy Gea, what does it mean that he's touching it? Mahil. They're touching it and being mahil towel over it is really the same thing. Seriously, there's Rabbi Yossi who holds that these two are really the same. As the Gemara, still, we have a problem. Akhtanim Nagia, Akhtanim Mayel. This Brisa seems to differentiate because it says Nagia and it says Oil, and it doesn't group them in the same category. It's mashma two separate categories. So Rabbi Abayi answers, and this is not going to fit with Shitas Rabbi Yochanan having Rabbi Yossi support him. He's just explaining the Brisa, the Lamata Mitafach Oil Nagia, Lamala Mitafach Oil Greda. If a person's hand, for example, is less than a tefach above the Toma, so then it's called Oihel Negia, Oihel of touching, because it's considered like he's touching it, but really he's being mild over it due to the fact he's not actually touching it, but like he's touching it, that's why it's called Oihel Negia. Or if it's more than a tefach above, then that's just called regular oil, and so that's what the Brice is referring to when it mentions these two words separately, Negia and oil. However, Rava Amar Rava answers, and this is going to fit with Shitas Rabbi Yochanan having Rabbi Yossi support him, that Afil Lamal Mitafach, even if his hand is more than a tefach above the Toma, Nami Oihel Negiahu, this is also called Oihel Negia, and Vehechlam Oihel Greda, so what would regular oil be considered? Behamshacha, that's hamshacha, which is basically classic Tomas oil. When you have two things underneath the same roof, a person and the Toma, for example, that's what's called hamshacha, that's regular Tomas oil. But when the person himself is being mahil over the Toma, so then that's called oil negia, even though he's more than a tavach above it. And Amar continues explaining himself, but no, how do I know this? Did not, it's really the time you have a brice, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi says, Chavila mita yusri chaloinois, chaitzin bena bias la aliya, shaloi lahachnas Toma letzad sheni. We have ropes of bed and bars of a window. They're chaitzets in between the house and the aliyah, the upper floor, and they don't allow Toma to go to the other side. Now let's just pause to explain. This is what we just said about the ropes of a bed and the bars of a window refers to the mesh of ropes that were used for a bed. Basically, they were woven into the bed or attached to the outside of the bed to put the mattress on, or we have a mesh of metal or wood bars for a window. So the Brisa tells us that these were placed in the opening between the bias and the aliyah, the lower and the upper floor of a house. They are chaitzets. They create a block preventing Toma from going through. And this is even though there are holes in the mesh, because the holes are less than a tefach, and as we've already said previously, when we have less than a tefach, Toma can't go through. So that's the first situation. Now let's say person al panei ameis ba'avir, if you spread this mesh over a mace and it's in the air above it, so an agei keneged a nekev tameh, shalai keneged a nekev tar, if a person touches corresponding to where one of the holes in the mesh are, so then he's tameh, or if he touches not corresponding to where one of the holes are, he's tahar. Now analyzing this, we ask, kechidami, what's this case over here that we just mentioned? Ilim lamata mitefach, if you want to say that this mesh was placed within a tefach of the mace, so shalai keneged a nekev amai tahar, even if he puts his finger in a place which is not corresponding to one of the holes in the mesh works. Amai tahar, why would he be tahar? Mace biksusaihu, this is considered like the mace with his garment, umace biksusai metame, and a mace in his garment is metame. In other words, if a mace is wearing a garment, for example, if a mace is wrapped in a blanket, that's considered tsksus, its garment. So that's not a chatzitza, that's not an interposition in between the tumas mace and that which is above it. So if a person puts his hand above the mace, of course he's going to be tame. And therefore, in the second din of the braisa, when we have this mesh work above the mace, if a person puts his hand on a place of the meshwork where there is rope, so it's not near one of the open areas of the mesh. If again this mesh is within a tefach of the mace, it's really just considered its garment. So why would the person be tahar? Elav l'mal mitefach. It must be that this mesh was placed more than a tefach above the mace, and that's when he puts his finger on a place where it's not open. Let's say where the rope is, so he's not tameh. But here's the key: when he places his hand in a spot which is corresponding to the one of the open holes of the mesh, so then he is tameh because the tuma of the mace goes through that hole. And v'kakari le'noigeya. The Brisa calls it that he's touching the mace. Now, he's not actually touching the mace. His finger's just in the air. So once again, we see Rai for Rabbi Yossi, even though he's just being mile over the mace, it's being called Negeya, and that it's even when it's more than a tefach above the mace. However, Amar Abayi Abayi comes to argue and says that no, la'olam l'mat mitefach. We could say that this mesh that we're talking about is within a tefach of the mace. And that which you had said, the mace b'ksusayhu, is no different than a mace in its garment. Just like when a mace is wrapped in its garment, the Toma goes through its garment, it should be the same thing over here with the mesh. The answer is that no, mace b'ksusay mevatale, that when a mace is in its garment, so a person's mevatal the garment to the mace, and that's why Toma goes through. But hi, lo mevatale, this meshwork that he had put over the mace for whatever reason, he's not mevatal it to the mace. Maybe he wants to protect it from the sun, or if things are falling, he put this rope thing over it to catch these things that are falling so it don't squish the mace. For whatever reason, he put this mesh over it, he's not mevatal it to the mace, and therefore does create a chatzitza. That's as long as he puts his hand in a place where there's actual rope and not where there's airspace. Asking another question though, it should be just like Toma Tamuna, which literally means berry Toma, and that also penetrates and goes upwards. And really, Toma Tamuna is the same thing as the Toma Ritzutza that we mentioned previously. That if we have Toma in such a confined area that it doesn't have one cubic tefach of space around it, then that Toma goes all the way through, and so it should be no different in this case. He has the meshwork within a tefach of it, and since there isn't a tefach of space around it, so the Toma should still go through. We're back to square one. And the answer is that no, because of Rabbi Yossi, Toma Tamuna, anyway, Kas. Rabbi Yossi holds that Toma Tamuna does not penetrate and go through. We've been saying the whole time that it does. Rabbi Yossi holds it doesn't. No, but not Tamra. How do we know this? And now we have a Mishnah, Tevis Hamigdal, the compartment of a closet. Imagine you have a free standing closet. It's quite large and it has a whole bunch of different compartments in it. And so we're just going to be focusing on one of the compartments in this closet. It has a tefach of space in it, which means the hollow of this compartment is a full tefach. Its exit, which means the way to put something in or take something out of this little compartment, that opening isn't a tefach. Just imagine you have this closet with a whole bunch of different compartments for random things. And one of them, the compartment itself is a tefach, but all there is just a little hole for you to slip little things inside. Maybe it's meant for storing your coins. It's like a little piggy bank. You put your coins inside, so the opening is definitely not pesach tefach, but the entire compartment itself is pesach tefach. The story here, toma besaicha. There's toma, there's a piece of a mace inside that little piggy bank storage compartment. So bias tome, the entire house is tome. However, toma bias, if there's toma inside the house, masha besaicha, tahar. Whatever's inside that little compartment is tahar. Now why is that? What's the difference? That's because of the norm for toma to leave, but not for it to go inside. Therefore, when there's toma inside this little compartment, you're eventually going to take that toma out. And therefore, even though the opening of this compartment isn't a tefach, you're going to eventually open it up and remove that toma. That means that for all intents and purposes, the toma is considered like it's been removed already, and that means that it's in the house, so the whole house is tome. But if the toma is inside the house, you're not necessarily going to take the toma and squish it into this compartment. So therefore, whatever's in the compartment is considered sealed off from the house and it remains tahar. Now, this is all Tanakama, whereas Rabbi Yossi Metaher, Rabbi Yossi is Metaher, even when there's toma inside the compartment. Why is that? He could either remove it in half pieces, he could slip a knife through the crack that's meant for coins, slice the toma in half, and then take the toma out in halves, and then it's not going to be metame the house, or you could just put a match inside and burn it while it's there, so it's not necessarily going to be coming out. Now we continue, pay attention to this, because it's really the main key over here. Uketani Seifa, the Seifa of this mission teaches as follows. Hamida Pesach, let's say he takes his cabinet and he places it by the entrance of the house. Upischa Lachot, and the opening of this compartment is facing outside the house. So toma Pesachah by a star, and there's toma inside this compartment, so the house is tahar, because even though the toma is going to end up coming out, it's going to end up going out through the outside of the house, it's not going to pass through the house. And also toma bias, if there's toma inside the house, masha b'seicha tahar, whatever's inside this compartment is tahar. Now kof chavav went off on top, v'tani Allah, b'raisa was taught on this, Rabbi Yossi Metaher, Rabbi Yossi's Metaher, and the question is, ahaya, on which case are we saying Rabbi Yossi's Metaher? Ilema seifa, if you want to say that Rabbi Yossi is going on the seifa of this mishnah, where this closet, this cabinet was placed at the entrance of the house, and Rabbi Yossi is saying about that case, oh, it's tahar. Well, the Tanakama was also Metaher that case. El rather, must be it's going on the Reisha, the Kamar Tanakama. The Tanakama had said, Toma B'Soicha by his Tomei, that when there's Toma inside this compartment in the closet, the house is Tomei. And it's on that case that Rabbi Yossi is saying, then no, it's Tahar. And why is the Tanakama saying that that situation is Tomei? Imi Shom the Derech Tomalotse, is either it's because, as we had said before, it's the standard that Toma is going to end up coming out of that compartment, it's going to end up being in the house, and that's going to be Tomei in the house. V'i, alternatively, the reason why the Tanakama is Metame in that situation is Mishom the Toma Tamuna by Kas, because Toma Tamuna breaks through, and Kamala Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi is responding to him, meaning in this Brisa where we say that Rabbi Yossi is Metaher, he's so to speak responding to the Tanakama by saying, the Kamala, that which you had said, Derech Toma Latzeis, that it's the norm for the Toma to be brought out of there. So I'll tell you that no, Yachol Latzei El Chatzayin, Oyla Sarfim Kaima, he could technically bring it out in half pieces and it wouldn't be Metame, or he could just burn it where it is, and also it's not going to end up coming out and being Metame, and that's what we had read in the mission itself. And with the Kamala, that which you had said, Toma Tamuna Bakas, that Toma Tamuna is by Kaya, well, I, Rabbi Yossi, say that Toma Tamuna ain't a baikas. Toma Tamuna is not baikaya. So here's where we see the Rabbi Yossi holds Toma Tamuna is not baikaya. So let's clarify where we see Toma Tamuna over here, and that's based off of Mashmois. Since this Mishnah that we were quoting, that we're discussing, is talking about a compartment that has a tefach of space with inside it, it's a cubic tefach, and the Tanakama only mentions Derech Tomolotzes vein Derech Tomolikanes, and it doesn't say anything about Toma baikas. That's Mashma, as we had just explained at the end of this discussion, that if this compartment were not have been a cubic tefach, it would have been smaller than that, so then it would be Toma by Kas. And so once again, we can see from here that Rabbi Yossi holds that Toma is not by Kas, and this is the end of a bias very long raya. How this case that we were originally bringing from this mesh that was placed over the mace is not necessarily raya for Rabbi Yossi, because it could be that we're referring to where it's within a tefach of the mace, and still it's not Metami the person corresponding to where the actual mesh is, because again, Rabbi Yossi holds that Toma is not by Kas. We're going to stop here for the day, but pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss Shitas Rabbi Yossi with a seeming stira, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.